when they come home from the cleaners, you could still kiss my collar.
Okay. Oh, but anyway, small little things like that, Darren, I believe it's important we keep up with them, or the frustration level just gets to be absolutely
so impossible. These romantic things can cause procrastination.
But I really believe that as we organize ourselves, like just have a couple hooks instead of a huge table to lay all of our dry clothes on, then we'll keep it up. And so that's one way. And also laziness. Laziness is a surefire sign of procrastination.
You know, I have seen a lot of people procrastinate when they needed a job. Well, you know, tomorrow, it'll be more favorable circumstance tomorrow. Or I'm sure that boss isn't in I want to see today. So I'm going to just watch television today and I'll suck it up. But tomorrow I'll be really ready to go. Mm-hmm. I've seen so many of those people go day in, day out. Pretty soon it's a week. Pretty soon it's a month. And they keep putting this thing off, and I really think it's a fear of confrontation. Well, what if he didn't like me? Hmm. What if he threw me out of his office? What if there weren't any jobs? Then I'd have to come home and see, I don't have to admit that I'm a failure because I didn't try. Now, I have seen that with people that were almost ready to get a college degree. I've seen this many times. They get down to maybe their last quarter, the last semester in school, where they would receive this degree that had been working on 3 or 4 or sometimes 5 years, and they drop out of school. And I finally realized that sometimes they said, well, if you ever got certified or you ever got that graduation certificate, then you would have to present to your world and your family and your associates that you now are maybe it's a teacher or a mechanic or a welder or a pilot or whatever it is. And then you would be judged on that, and they had a fear of failure. Mm-hmm. And so if they never became that person that was certified or credentialed, they would never have to face the music. And so they dropped out of school. Said, well, I didn't finish. I thought, what a tragedy. What a tragedy. Yes. Why did you spend 3 or 4 or 5 years of your life and then procrastinate? I mean, it's very subtle, but there's a fear of failure there. And yes. Maybe a fear of success.
Well, we come up with fear again, yes.
Right, come up with fear.
Well, in the lazy category, we can turn to Proverbs 6, verse 6. And it says, go to the ant, O sluggard. Observe her ways and be wise. And a sluggard is a person that just doesn't want to get up in the morning. There is even a verse in Proverbs that says, this man says, there's a lion in the street, there's a lion in the street. And he doesn't even get up and out of the house during the day. He's just so lazy. He'd rather sit and watch television and become a couch potato, as we call it today. And as I look at Proverbs 30:25 about the ant, the ants are not strong folk, but they prepare their food in the summer. And these ants look ahead and see what needs to be done and prepares their way. Now, like this person you were talking about, he could have gotten a great job and maybe not had to have 2 part-time jobs, and maybe his children have him gone all the time. If he would have just looked ahead and said, if I get this good job and an advancement, then my children will see me more often. We need to really plan and see what is best ahead. I believe that's very important.
You know, I think of one man. In fact, he is one of the neatest guys I know. And before we met him, he was an aircraft mechanic, and he had gone to school to become certified aircraft mechanic. He started doing the aircraft repairs, and he didn't like it. So he stopped from doing that, and he was making good money, and he switched over, and he went into school to become an electrician. Now he's a certified union electrician.
Yes.
Now, I really admire that. You know, he didn't sit down and say, oh, I hate this lousy job. I have to get my hands dirty and get grease all over myself and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And sometimes I have to work in the cold, and sometimes I work out in extreme heat, and, you know, whatever the excuses are. But he says, okay, I'm going to suck it up, and I'm going to train myself to do something I think I'd rather do.
Well, and that
I admire that.
Well, and Darren, we've got to look at the money that will provide more money.
Right.
For the hours we work, we get more money. And he's providing food for his family, and now he has a new child, and so
he's a great guy.
Yes.
He's done a lot of work for us at our house on the electrical systems, and I trust him, and he's just an awesome person. But you know, a lot of people will not pay the price. And you say, what does that mean? That means taking yourself, as my dad used to say, by the nape of the neck and saying, all right, you're going to go do this today.
Mm-hmm. Now, some people are procrastinators because life is just too comfortable. It truly is. And I can think of, let's turn to Genesis 19. And Sodom and Gomorrah was a most beautiful city. In fact, there were two cities very close by. And in fact, when Abraham asked Lot, he said, Lot, you choose what land you want, because their cattle were overrunning and they weren't providing the fields for them to feed on, for both flocks and herds to feed on. So Lot decided to go to Sodom and Gomorrah because it was gorgeous. It was in a gorgeous green valley. Well, here we see...
But there's also a city there.
Absolutely. And two cities. And Sodom and Gomorrah were very evil cities. In fact, homosexuality was rampant in those times. Now here, when finally it came to the fact that God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he warned Lot through angels, and angels came to deliver Lot and his family. And they finally did get Lot and his wife and his daughters out of Sodom. And his wife looked back. His wife was walking behind him. She was hesitating in going out of the city and leaving the city. I believe this woman had experienced a comfortable lifestyle, and she didn't want to leave. She was just comfortable. She probably had a very nice home there. Lot had provided for her. She had two daughters. She had future sons-in-law there that they were going to marry. She was looking forward to being a grandmother. And so she walks. I can just see her walking behind Lot, her husband, and she looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. Now, this is the probably the most obvious of procrastinators in the Old Testament, that Lot's wife would look back. In Genesis, let's see, we're looking at 19, verse 26, and she became a pillar of salt. And this is... And they say they've even found salt, deposits of salt there near the ruins of Sodom and Gomorrah. So they know that this had happened. Now, she hesitated, and she became a pillar of salt, I believe because her surroundings were so comfortable.
Now, you know, they've had some recent archaeological digs there. They found not only salt, but they found some sulfur and some other things that would have to do with fire coming out of heaven.
Oh, that's...
You know, fire and brimstone to judge this city.
Yes.
So it's been proven even by archaeological finds just recently that this story in the Old Testament is true, and more of those things are happening all the time.
That's right. They sure are. Now, in Exodus 4, we come upon a really strange situation. And this is when Moses and Zipporah, his wife, and his son went to meet Aaron and all of the elders of Israel to make that exodus into the Promised Land. And Moses finally agreed to go if Aaron could be his mouthpiece. And as you're reading in Exodus, you will realize that Moses had been very fearful about going in the first place, and God had become very angry. But then God had said, well, we'll make Aaron your voice piece, but you must go. Now, on the way, Darren, they came to an inn. And the Lord met Moses there, and he became very deathly ill. It says in the New American Standard, sought to put him to death. But in other translations, he became deathly ill. And Zipporah took a flint and cut off her son's foreskin and threw it at Moses' feet and said, you are indeed a bridegroom of blood to me. So he, God, let Moses alone. And at that time, she said, you are a bridegroom of blood because of the circumcision.
No, but I think we have to go back and say, now, why did this story take place? Well, first of all, God commanded circumcision and introduced him to that way back in the middle of Genesis. He was saying to him, listen, you need to circumcise yourself and your sons and your slaves and servants and so on.
Yes.
Circumcision was a big deal to God.
It
was a very important thing.
It was the actual cutting of the covenant that he had made
right.
with man, where blood flowed. There needed to be blood when a covenant was made.
But it was a remembrance of the covenant. It was also a perpetuation of the covenant.
Yes.
And when I think about that covenant of circumcision, and most Bible teachers, I guess, aren't brave enough quite to say this, but the seed passes through the circumcision.
Yes.
I think that is so important. Then, of course, in the New Testament, God talks to us about the circumcision of the heart, where he wants to cut away things that we don't need. But here, this story is really true, where Abraham down to Moses, in fact, this had been a practice and a legitimate practice, But now here Moses was dropping the deal. He wasn't keeping up with it.
He was neglecting to circumcise. And you could say, well, you know, he was raised in a prince's home. He was a prince of Egypt. How could he know about circumcision? But you must remember that his mother was the one who nursed him and weaned him. So he was in a household where that, and he was a Levitical of the household of Levi,